jumping all over the place with where we needed to go, but it's kind of funny because the worship team, I never know what songs and stuff they're going to do. Primarily because even though they practice songs, a lot of times they don't know where God ends up taking them. So I was doing that Made for More all day yesterday in the house by myself. I couldn't get it out of my head. So when they started singing it today, it was like, yes. Yes. God was helping me read their mail, and I was all excited because I really think it ties into where we're headed this morning. I'm going to tell you two stories very quickly. One of these you probably know. One of them you probably or maybe don't know. Okay? And then I will tie it together, hopefully put a nice ribbon on it so it makes sense for why we're talking about it. The first story comes out of 2 Samuel chapter 21. Now, many of you, if not all of us, know the story of David and Goliath, right? And where David, as a shepherd boy, was sent out to check on his brothers who were fighting in King Saul's army. And here was this giant Goliath, and he was a giant. There were giants that walked the land in those days. They were big old, big, enormous guys. And we know the story where nobody would go fight Goliath, and they were all of the soldiers, the armies of Israel were afraid. And David comes along, just coming to the battlefield to check on his brothers. And what ends up happening is he says, I know that my God can do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go fight that giant. I'm going to go fight Goliath. And he picks up the 5 stones and he uses his slingshot and he swirls the slingshot and it goes into Goliath's forehead and Goliath falls down dead and David cuts his head off and the Israelites win the day, win the battle. Jump forward to 2 Samuel chapter 21. We find David once again. He is in this point in time, the people know that he's the king, and he has his mighty men around him, and they are in the midst of battle. He is fighting right along with the rest of them. And there is this guy, and his name, I can't even pronounce his name, okay? But if you read the text, it says that it is the giant's son. It is Goliath's son. Who knew that? Who knew that David fought another battle? Not just with Goliath, but he's fighting Goliath's son now. And what happens is he must have, in the Bible doesn't describe it real clear. All it says is that one of David's mighty men comes along. It's almost like this point where Goliath's son is about to kill David. You know the movies. We've all seen battle movies where somebody comes along and kills the bad guy and the king is saved, right? Well, that's what happens in 2 Samuel chapter 21. And after the battle is done, David's mighty men get together and they make this decision. They don't even really give David a choice. They just tell him, we know that you are the light of Israel. You are the anointed king. Your role is crucial to us working and functioning and reaching our destiny. And so what we need is for you to never go on the battlefield again. We are not putting you at risk. We are going to do the labor. We are going to do the work that needs to be done. The down and dirty. The stuff that you don't need to be worried about. We can't risk you. We cannot use your time and your energy in a place that you weren't made to be. See how that ties into that song? I'm just going to leave that story hang with you. I'm going to go to Acts chapter 6. Okay? Similar story. Plays out a little bit different, but the end result is the same. We have the early church, the early Christians. It is first, you know, this is not too far. You know, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit poured out, Acts 2. Acts 4, we have another pouring out where all of these early Christians and early believers and the people that are coming to the Lord thousands at a time, they are all to this point where in Acts 4, where there's this other outpouring, it says the house shakes, and out of that come signs, wonders, miracles, and they go out and then jump two more chapters to Acts 6. In Acts 6, it starts off and it says that there was so much work. They couldn't keep up. The apostles couldn't keep up. They couldn't keep up with the widows and the orphans and all the needs that of the people. And so what happened is the apostles appointed some anointed men. They call them deacons at one point throughout the book of Acts. They refer to and into the New Testament, into Paul's letters, they call them deacons. But they appoint them to do the work, the everyday things, the things that need to get done so that the apostles can focus on the stuff that they were called to do. Praying over people and stirring gifting, and giving direction to the church as a whole. Those two stories are very similar. They're similar from the standpoint that they have leaders appointed by God who were doing things that they were basically doing busy work. It's not that it wasn't important, but it was busy work because it wasn't their work. It wasn't what they were called to do. It's one of the things that I so love about, about God's big picture for each of us is he has a place for each of us. I mean, that's what this morning really is about, that he's got a special place for you, a role for you in the body, in the kingdom that nobody else can do, that he specially made for you. It doesn't mean that we can't have more than one evangelist, because we can. It doesn't mean that we can't have more than one prophet. It doesn't mean that we can't have more than one person who is operating in as a giver. But the people, when you find your place, the people that you are to run into, the people that you are to minister to with the gifting that God has put into you, that is where the uniqueness comes in. You following that? There's people that nobody else is ever going to have contact with except you. So while our giftings might be similar, the people that God has put in your life so that you can reach with your specific gifting is unique to you. And if we don't do our work, then there's a hole. There's a hole. You just envision there's a seat next to you that's empty, and it's empty because maybe we haven't reached our person yet. We haven't reached our people yet. The people that God has intended for you to talk to, for you to demonstrate who the Holy Spirit is and how he works, what Jesus has done in your life. The seat's empty because you haven't gotten to that yet. This is not about negative. This is about moving forward. The beautiful thing is that it's no different for anybody. You remember the chart, you know, which we have, where we've got our offices, which we're moving toward, which is the like what we're doing with the meeting and stuff. all the way around there, all the way around at every level, people have empty chairs. Even apostle. So we have to help each other. Number one, find our spot. And we have to help our apostle stay in his spot. Okay? So we have twofold. Twofold. So let's just talk about apostle for a minute, and then I'm going to come back around to you. So back in October, it was October 10th. I've got it written here in this journal. I was doing prayer time, and I had literally, I'm just going to read it to you because it's so crucial to where we are going. And I shared this at church one Sunday morning in worship, but I'm going to share it again. Went in my prayer time. This was October 10th, so I don't know what day of the week that was, but it was that very next Sunday that I had shared it with the congregation. I'm doing my prayer time. I said, "How in you know?" I was reading in Acts, and it said they brought with them the sick and those troubled by demons. Everyone was healed. Can you get your head around that? Everyone was healed. Not one here and there. Not even, you know, apostle says, are we at 50%? Are we at 70%? Are we 90%? Everyone, 100% was healed. And I'm talking to the Lord in my prayer time. I said, I'm talking about the body. How do we get there? I'm asking a corporate question. And the Lord gave me three words. Release your apostle. Release your apostle. Release your apostle. That's in response to what I'm asking corporately. How do we get there? And I came on that Sunday and I said to you, I'm not even sure what that means. I don't even know what that looks like. I don't know how to do that. I don't know what it means. I know it's corporate. I know that this has nothing to do with what apostle has to do. Nothing. This has everything to do with what we need to do as a body of believers. To keep him in his spot, like David's mighty men were saying, you need to stay in the king role and not be a regular soldier on the battlefield. Or Philip and Stephen and the other men listed in chapter 6 of Acts that said, we will serve. We will take care of the widows. We will take care of the orphans. We will do that so that you apostles, that you leaders, that you that are you have this anointing to take the message out beyond these walls. We will do the daily things so that you can go be who God called you to be. So this word, release your apostle, is a corporate message to us as his people. It's not about apostle. It is about apostle, but it's not about apostle. It's about us. And when I was looking at this, I have this definition, allow or enable to escape from confinement, set free, allow to flow freely. Allow to move freely. And that doesn't mean just let him go to Africa when he feels like he needs to go to Africa. That means when he's trying to make decisions to move us forward as a body, that we're all on board going, yes. That means when he pulls you aside and he's doing one-on-one with you and he's saying, you know, you've got some stuff in your life that we have to get you in front. We got to have some deliverance. We've got to be able to pray with you because this is going to be a hindrance to you. You're going, yep, okay, I don't like it. It doesn't feel good. I don't know what's going to happen, but I trust the anointing that's in you, and I'm all in. Okay, let's go. See, being in America is a great thing. If you've been overseas at all, you know it, the world thinks that America is all that and a bag of chips. But I am telling you that being in a democratic society has done nothing to benefit the church. The kingdom. That's hard. And you're going to think, no, I don't agree with that. Well, that's okay. You can think about it. But God has put everybody in a place. We each should have somebody that we're working with. We each should be having people that need to follow and watch and do what we're doing. All the way down. And just like if apostles coming to you and saying, hey, we really need to get this cleaned up so that you can prosper. Just like he doesn't want you to fight him on it because he knows he can see what good is going to come out of it and how God can use you and how he can move you and how that's going to open doors. It'll be the same way with the people that you're working under. You will get so frustrated if they just drag their heels. You will get so frustrated and you'll go, I don't get it. I don't understand. Because if they would just do what I ask them to do, God is going to pour out a blessing and release on them. And it's going to be so much better than what they could ever imagine. But because we have grown up in a society that in our secular world is democratic, and we all think that we need a vote and we all get to decide, it has been a detriment, because that is not how God's word works. He works on a theocratic system. And we will be the first ones to tell you, check the word, because the Bible is the ultimate guide. The Bible is the ultimate guide. But do you know that Jesus embodied, the word says that Jesus embodied all five of the fivefold offices? Hebrews 3:1, it calls Jesus the apostle. Revelations 19, it says that Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Do you know that in John, it says that he is the good shepherd, and the word shepherd interprets into pastor? Do you know that all the way through the New Testament, it says that he taught, he taught, he taught. He was a teacher. And if you, it doesn't spell out and say he was an evangelist, but it says wherever he went, he drew crowds and they followed. That's doing the work of an evangelist. In John chapter 1, if you read in my Passion Bible, it says in the King James, it says, and the Word was with us. In the Passion Bible, it says, the living expression of God was with us. Living expression. That means that Jesus's attributes that he was pouring out to us, that we read about, and those people in the first churches in the early, that first century AD, were watching unfold in front of him. And so when we get to Acts 6, because they saw it in Jesus, and then he poured out on them, and the Holy Spirit flowed, and they were doing what he was doing because he stirred them, and because they were listening, and because they were going, I don't know what the kingdom needs. I don't know where my spot is, but this is the need right now. So this is what I'm going to step into. I know that God's going to get me to where I was planned, where he purposed me to be. But for right now, I'm going to serve the widows and the orphans, because that's where the need is right now. Because I am all about building kingdom, because Jesus was all about serving. And I can see his attributes in these people who I'm calling apostles. That's what Stephen and Philip were saying. That's what David's mighty men were saying. I'm going to serve where I can serve. We have this whole thing. And you guys, if you weren't here and you don't know this, you can get there's stuff out on the back counter. But for most of you, we're here. We have our pillar, our circle of the fivefold, and we've asked you to start thinking about where you fit. But I would challenge you to back up a step from that. Back up one step. Instead of looking at that circle and going, this is exactly where I fit. Like if you know, perfect, that's wonderful. You're probably ahead of most of us. But if you don't know where you fit, when you look at that circle, you start, in your prayer time, you start asking Jesus, where would you want me to serve first? Where do you want me to serve first? Because I know without a shadow of a doubt that you in Philippians 1 said that the work that you began, the perfect work, I will finish it. I will complete it. That means that when he purposed you and he saw you in your mama's womb and he said, this is what I have for Misty. This is what I have for Jesse. This is what I have for Joyce. He's going to get you there. He's going to get you there. You know, it's another detriment from being in America. We want all the information, all the technology. All you have to do, it's at your fingertips. Just pick up your phone, click some buttons, and you can get all the info you ever wanted on anything. God don't work like that. It's faith. If we knew it all, we're not walking in faith. Walking in faith means that you don't get to see everything. I was listening to another song last night. I'm going to tell you, the worship team is going to have to do it for us, because in this place where we're trying to find our spots, Matthew West was singing this song, and it said, the song goes, Read the last page in the book. Guess what? We all win. Read the last page in the book. I know how the story goes. I win. You win. Jesus wins. Kingdom wins. What we don't know is how we get from this spot to the end of the book. That's the spot where it requires faith to walk it out. So if you take a step back as we go into this new year, and you're sitting here and you're like, I don't know where I fit. Quit asking where you fit and start changing your question. Where can I serve right now? Knowing that the God of all heaven has a plan already set up for you. I'm guaranteeing you that he will get you there. I am guaranteeing you that he is going to hold your spot. I am guaranteeing you that there is going to be blessings and benefits that come out of it when you just start with a servant mindset and say, I'm going to serve. Philip. One of those guys in Acts 6. I love this. I love this story. They start serving tables. They're waiters. They're helping the widows, the orphans, the elderly. And out of that, they start doing signs and wonders and healings and miracles and delivering people from demonic holds. Waiting tables. They didn't go into this going, well, if I start waiting tables, then I'm going to be able to do all these signs and wonders. No, They didn't have the slightest idea that was going to happen. What they did is, I'm going to serve. This is a need. Kingdom. I'm all about kingdom. I'm going to find my spot, and I'm going to do it because I know that the Lord will move me where he wants me to be if I'm faithful to him. And so what happens is they start waiting tables on these women and children and orphans and elderly. And then what happens is they start doing signs and wonders and miracles. And then if you jump forward to Acts 8, we see Philip is out in the middle of a desert, out in the middle of nowhere. He is evangelizing to an Ethiopian. The man accepts Christ. They baptize him. And the next thing we know, Philip is like teleported. He's like, he's there, he's not there. He's over in some other city, just like that. There's three places in the Bible that evangelist is mentioned. One is later in Acts, and they're talking about Philip. They call him the evangelist. The second one is in Ephesians 4. It's one of the offices, one of the fivefold. It's one of those roles, and along with apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. The third is in Timothy, and Timothy says, do the work of an evangelist. Three times only in the entire New Testament that word evangelist is used, and Philip, the guy that waiting tables, is one of them. Don't tell me God won't honor what you do. Don't tell me if you just come going, Lord, just use me. I don't care where right now, because I know you're going to move me where you need me to be. But right now, plug me into the hole. Plug me in where there's a spot, because I just want to be used in the kingdom. I'm just challenging you today. I'm challenging you today. Maybe we need to just step back, and instead of asking exactly what spot, maybe we just start asking, where can I serve? And then you let our apostle and our elders pray over you and stir you and get you moving. Because when you start moving, the Lord's going to open up doors. Micah chapter 2, it says that the king goes before me. It says he is going to break open the gates. He's talking about what he'll do for you. He's going to break open the gates. He's going to make a way. We're called for more, but you have to start someplace. And if you're waiting to see the exact spot, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss out. You're going to be sitting here, and you're going to be hearing testimonies of everybody else who God is using, and you're going to wonder, why not me? We don't want anybody to miss out. We believe nobody has to miss out. We believe that God has a plan for every single one of us in this place. Doesn't mean you're going to see the answer tomorrow. Doesn't mean you're going to see the answer next week. My boys will tell you, Pastor Tracy will tell you, some of the other people will tell you that when we first started down this journey, the Lord had given me this word about there's going to become a time when you and Apostle are doing two different ministries. So hard. And yet I'm starting to see it. Like Wednesday, I'm going one direction. Friday morning, he's getting on a plane and going to Africa by himself. See, it doesn't mean that it's going to unfold immediately. But if you have the tenacity and the persistence to give him time to work on your behalf, and your heart is to serve. And serving can come in all kinds of different ways. I'm telling you, we had people talking about comfort today and compassion. That's a spiritual gift. Read in Romans. It's a spiritual gift. God's going to use that. He purposed you to use that. It's become a joke now. I'd take a spiritual gift test. I would be zero on compassion. Zero. Big goose egg. Nothing. No. Mm-mm. Not. Right? I'm telling you, I've turned into a slobbery, mushy, crying over everybody. Like, when I'm in Africa, I have to hug them. And when I hug them and start crying, miracles start happening. Healings start happening. A blubbery, slobbery, mushy, the girl that scores zero on the gift test. God will use you. He will take you to places that you can't imagine. And it'll be so much better. So we're just going to, I'm going to turn this over to Joel. I'm just going to ask you to change your question. Change your question. What? Where do I serve, Lord? Just where do I serve? I'm going to challenge you. Apostle gets back December 15th. I would hope and pray that each of you, between now and December 15th, that you start taking a look at that circle and you ask God, where do I start serving? And you write it down and you bring it on a piece of paper on December 15th and you just step up to him and hand it to him. This is where I'm serving. We don't have to worry about the rest of the holes. The Lord is going to fill in the rest of the holes. If you ask him, where do I start? Those are the important places. He will fill in the rest. Promise you, he's not going to leave us with gaps. He knows where we need to begin as a body of believers. He knows better than we know. He does. All we have to do is say, where do you want me? And if you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to tell you, I talk about Lori all the time in Africa. I do. Anybody that goes with me will tell you. I talk to people because they all want to be prophets. They all want to be apostles. I say, I got a woman in my church, and if she can just clean, oh my gosh. She is the happiest. It is the most helpful thing. It ministers to people. I talk about her every time I'm in Africa, in multiple churches. Why? Because she knows who she is, and she's just ready to serve. God's going to do the same thing with you. Ask the right question. Pray about it over the next 2 weeks. Come on December 15th. Write it down. This is where I'm going to fill this hole until the Lord moves me to my permanent spot. Maybe it's going to end up being your permanent spot. I don't know. We'll see what God has. But start with that question and become the Philip that is recognized down through the ages as one of those three people. When they talk about evangelists, just because he waited tables.